Hello there, I'm Johnny Mack with your daily comedy news. John Eastman is a former legal advisor to Donald Trump. He's trying to get the 2020 election decertified. Stephen Colbert said, that's right, the election that's been over for a year and a half and that Biden won. To put that in perspective, when the election was decided, J-Lo was engaged to a different guy. Colbert again, a do-over. Our ex-president isn't allowed a do-over just because he didn't like the result the first time. That's how you get an Eric. Wow. Hey, congrats to Bill Burr. He's going to play Fenway Park. Yeah, that'll make him the first comedian to ever headline Fenway Park. That show is August 21st. That's going to be great for him. Big article in Variety with the headline, Comedian Rebecca Corey on why the Louis C.K. sexual harassment story is finally becoming part of her act. I suspect this will get some attention during the week. Corey had been among multiple women in the entertainment business to speak up in a 2017 New York Times investigative story about being harassed by CK. She made it clear on Twitter that she wasn't up for talking about it back then, said, dear media, I'm happy to speak with you about my 30 years in comedy, my national life-saving nonprofit, or what I'm working on now. Perhaps reach out to his girlfriends for comment. But more recently, Corey had been thinking that this was something to process and interact after all. In a set at LA's Uncabaret Alternative Comedy Night in March, she tried up some material about it that could ultimately play into a touring act. Variety asked her, you've turned down requests to talk about the Louis C.K. thing since 2018, and when he won his Grammy a couple weeks ago, you basically tweeted to the media that we, should go away. It's not a surprise that people are curious to hear from you on this, though. Rebecca, why am I constantly being asked to speak on cancel culture? The joke is the Me Too movement and C.K. every time he's in the news cycle? I don't care what the guy does, and of course cancel culture is real. I'm living proof. The moment I was sexually harassed at my job, I was canceled. That's how it works, kids. And referring to me as victim, accuser, silence breaker, or one of five women has grown tiresome and is now intolerable. My name is Rebecca Corey. Take note, Daily Beast, fix it. Apparently they spelled her name wrong in an article. I'm an actress, writer, and comedian, and have been for 31 years. I have a career, credits, and talent. I didn't run away and hide for a decade when things got hard like Dave Chappelle did. I stayed, and I've never stopped doing stand-up comedy and creating, and never will. I've done my time and paid my dues and then some, so let's talk about what I'm doing and when my Netflix special's happening. There are people who have been doing stand-up for 5 minutes with comedy specials and others with multiple specials who suck. So when's mine? I'm ready when you are, Ted. Variety, do you think Netflix will take you up on that? Rebecca? No, I will never get a Netflix special ever. She then laughed. I'm going to be canceled again when this comes out. I wish being canceled caused weight loss. I'd be so cute. So you do feel you got blacklisted. Rebecca? Is a frog's ass watertight? That line would kill in a Netflix special, she said. Listen, I can't prove I'm blacklisted, but I feel it and see it. Being on the one of the five women list absolutely affects potential opportunities and makes the Hollywood lemmings want to distance themselves from me. I'm currently pitching two shows, and while I know how hard it is to sell a show, being on the list is not helping. Certain people won't touch it because of their past and current affiliations. I also won't work with a-holes, so the playing field is narrow now, but I'm lucky to have the best agent on the planet, and we aren't giving up. Variety, do you think you got canceled because of the 2017 New York Times article? Rebecca, no, I was canceled in 2005, the day the encounter with CK happened. This BS about the predators being the ones who got canceled is a cute idea, but not true. They don't get canceled. They just get an adult timeout. Their behavior is interrupted momentarily, but fear not. They have hardcore fans, millions of dollars, and will always hold the power. People who get canceled are the ones whose lives and careers have been effed with, and mine has. So, and I always forget the dates here. I think I started at Sirius XM running what was then Sirius Comedy in February of 2004. Yeah, and then I made it to 2014. I never heard Rebecca's name. We definitely didn't cancel her. I don't recall a comedy CD of hers hitting my desk. I don't recall her ever being offered as a guest. Our internal rule was we were friends with everybody, especially when we started. Different clubs were like fighting amongst each other. And we're like, we're friends to all the clubs. We have all the comedians up. And that was our MO. So whatever Rebecca is talking about here, didn't see it in my little corner of the universe. I really don't recall hearing her name. Now, CK, I remember one time, CK would never come on the comedy channels. He came up one time and the intern left him waiting in the lobby long enough that CK was so mad that for 10 years, he never came on the comedy channels again. Even if he was in the building and did Opie and Anthony, he would not talk to us. I don't even remember which intern screwed that up. So I don't think I ever met CK and I liked his stand-up comedy. Rebecca really wanted to talk about her charity. Happy to do it. It's called Stand Up for Pits. She says, it's absolutely amazing. We have a fundraiser coming up April 24th at Gotham in New York City. Pit bull type dogs are discriminated against. They're abused, victimized, wrongly vilified, and murdered every single day in the country. So my organization is dedicated to educating, advocating, and saving the lives of these voiceless victims. One thing I want to address right now is how incredibly generous, kind, and amazing comedians have been. I'm grateful to every comic that has and continues to perform at Stand Up for Pits events over the past 12 years. These events have and continue to save millions of lives through comedy. So I jumped on Google to try and find out who's at the show on the 24th. Didn't see anything immediately, so I went to Gotham's website. Gotham Comedy Club only has the dates posted through April 23rd, so I can't tell you who's on Stand Up for Pits, but that sounds like a really good mission Rebecca Corey is on. They asked her, have there been any repercussions because of you being in the public eye for these other reasons that have affected the charity? Rebecca said, yeah, few. One worth mentioning is a club owner who didn't allow my charity events for dogs back at his clubs. I saw that all but one because he said, I threw my dirty tampons all over the green room. He also said one of his club managers said I was difficult because I wanted everything to be perfect. That's true. I do want everything to be perfect when a club manager is apathetic and careless. I'll voice how I feel about it because I want whatever's wrong to be fixed. That's my job as a producer. If that makes me difficult, so be it. As for being accused of throwing used tampons all over a green room, I'm sorry. What are you saying? And then he repeated it. And I said, I'm not sure my brain can handle what you're saying. And he was like, yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's true or not. I was livid and later sent him an email that said, please let whatever manager who said the tampon thing about me to stop. If I find out from anyone that that kind of defamation is being said about me, it'll be a problem. To which he replied, you can count on me sealing this up, but I expect the same thing in return. Think about that. The club owner actually told me that he expected the same silence in return, which is grotesque and mind-numbing to say the least. Variety, you riffed on that the other week in your Uncabaret set. It was the highlight of the set. Rebecca, it sure was. It's turning out to be a hilarious bit. It'd be great on Netflix. Are you building an entire set around the CK stuff? Hell no. My life and experiences are so much more than this gross debacle. You were back on stage in 2017 within 2 weeks of the Times article. What was that like coming back out but not wanting to talk about it? I walked out on stage and it was so quiet. It was packed and everybody was just staring at me. And I was just like, so anyway, how's everyone? I still get nervous when I go on stage that someone's going to hurt me because of the death threats and the penis pics I got sent and because of how some of his fans come for me. I've gotten some really scary and mean emails and still do whenever he's in the news cycle. So there's still this lingering feeling of like, am I in danger? It's really effed up when you have to hire security while performing stand-up, but I have to. It's a lot more here. I'll dive in more on this on Wednesday. Tomorrow I'm going to do some 420 stuff. Tomorrow's episode's really good, trust me. But I'll come back to this one on Wednesday. Yahoo picked up on some aspects of Bill Maher's special. That's called Adulting. I was watching TV Friday night. It popped up and I was like, am I in the mood to watch this? And I was not. Bill Maher brought up an issue that began in 2015 when black students at the University of Wisconsin-Madison called for the removal of a statue of President Lincoln. Bill Maher said, yeah, Lincoln said some racist thing. Every white person in 1860 Columbus had slaves, so did everyone in 1492 could afford it, including people of color in other parts of the world. You know who else had slaves? I'm quoting Bill Maher here. Everyone in the Bible. Should we cancel God? I've tried, really. Both testaments have lots of rules and laws about slavery, and none of them are, don't do it. That never crossed their mind. Don't do it. There's a lot of laws like a man kills your slave, you may kill his slave. Okay? It's not a defense of slavery. His point was not to look back in time and think you would have known things were wrong at a time when nobody else thought like that. If you were living 500 years ago, you'd be like, yeah, slavery's wrong and gay and trans people should be represented in all of Shakespeare's plays. Shut up. You're not better. You just came later. Maher had more to say. The irony of religion is that because of its power to divert man to destructive courses, the world could actually come to an end. The plain fact is religion must die for mankind to live. The hour's getting very late to be able to indulge in having key decisions made by religious people. Some made the connection that his special premiered on Good Friday. So the religious stuff did not go over so well. Time magazine reviewed Bill Maher's special, and they also talked about Clapter. I've mentioned Clapter in the past, but I think Tina Fey nailed it here. As described by Tina Fey in 2008, Clapter begins when you do a political joke and people go, woohoo! Donald Glover later explained that clapping means so true. Yes, so true. But what you did isn't funny. They're just clapping and laughing to be on the right side of history. Yeah, I think we see a lot of Clapter in comedy these days. Time wrote about comics taking on their haters, a bunch about Bill Maher and Dave Chappelle in their article. I'll focus on the Bill Maher stuff. Time writes, in defending their ideas and their work, too many of the most famous stand-ups have become smug, narcissistic, self-righteous, petty. Bill Maher epitomizes this exhausting phenomenon. It's excruciating as some of his opinions are, for example, talking about R. Kelly, the music didn't rape anybody. What's most unappealing is the manner in which he delivers them, as though he's the only sane, smart person in the world. The more public pushback he gets, the more sanctimonious he becomes. You'll find that article in Time. Bill Maher was on Joe Rogan's podcast. Actually, he was listening to that this morning while doing some Apple Fitness Plus cycling, humble brag. You know, at first, Maher came on. I was like, oh, this is bad. I don't like the energy he's giving off. And then they got into a good discussion with he and Rogan, and I was kind of into it for my 45-minute cycle ride. Shout out to Ty. Who's Ty, Johnny Mac? He's the instructor of the cycling class. Come on. George Carlin's brother, Patrick Carlin, has passed away. He was 90. I met Patrick a couple times. If you, like, imagine in your head what would George Carlin's brother be like, that's what he was like. Definitely had some Carlin blood in him. He was a fun guy. He'd come on the radio stations, tell some stories, always enjoyed his company. Kelly Carlin, daughter of George, shared on a tweet, "My dear Uncle Patrick has moved on into the spirit world. He's currently spinning tunes, smoking a J with Aunt Marlene, and shooting the crap with his brother. He was a philosopher and a tough mofo, all wrapped up in one." From The Guardian, at a recent gig, an audience member was so taken with Joanne McNally's stand-up that she tried to get on stage with Joanne. It wasn't the first time the comedian had come into contact with overexcited fans, but this one was particularly out of control. Joanne said, "Apparently she had no pants on. Maybe she lost them when she was scaling the stage. I took a selfie with her while she was getting held by two security guards." Sean listens to the podcast on YouTube. Yep, I do post all the episodes on YouTube. Well, I don't do it. It automatically happens. Anyway, Sean saw Dimitri Martin and said, "Dimitri tore it up Friday. Very funny. Everyone was laughing. All new stuff. Nothing from the last special. Go see Dimitri on this tour. For the price of admission, you get double the laughs." Thank you, Sean. Thank you for listening every day. Getting a little long here. I've got a good review of Jimmy O. Wang's show. I'll save that for later in the week. It's pretty good. Because I do want to go over Moon Tower and Nashville. Let's see who's at Moon Tower tonight. We've got a bunch of podcast tapings. The Not Another D&D podcast, Watch What Crappens and Fly on the Wall. Now tomorrow, being 4:20, we've got Grown Local. That show's at 5:30. The Crossword Show at 6. James Austin Johnson at the Stateside Theater at 7. Anthony DeVito's show with the wonderful title My Dad Is Not Danny DeVito, that's at 7. Mark Normand, who's great, tomorrow at 7. Josh Wolf at The Creek in the Cave at 8. It's so weird to me that The Creek in the Cave is in Austin now because it used to be in Astoria. The Canadians of Comedy, that's at 8:30. New York's Finest at 9 o'clock in Antone's. Let's see who New York's Finest are. Okay, they are, apparently. Hannah Berner, Sypha Sounds, Anthony DeVito, Emma Willman, Sean Donnelly, Langston Kerman, Jessica Kirsten, Little Sasquatch, James Austin Johnson, and Adrian Iapolucci. I can think of a bunch of New York comedians who would fight back on that title, but okay. Ari Shaffir's renamed Storyteller Show. I guess Comedy Central owns This Is Not Happening, and Ari Shaffir had to come up with a different title. All right, it features Ari Shaffir's Ari Shaffir, Big J. Okerson, Shane Gillis, and more. That's at the Ryman at 7 o'clock. Pretty cool. At 10:30, The Midnight Tokers. It's not at midnight. It's at 10:30. Billy Wayne Davis and Josh Wolfe. And a whole bunch of other shows tomorrow I didn't tell you about. Now let's see who's at the Nashville Comedy Festival who choose not to have their events listed in chronological order. At first, I thought there was nothing tonight, but Nate Bergazzi presents Mike Vecchione's special taping. That's at Zany's at 6:30 and another one at 8:45. I guess they're taping a special if they did two shows. Meanwhile, from the Austin Chronicle, Moon Tower star Sophie Buddy on how comedy is becoming more welcoming to women. She started when she was 15. I did my first year of stand-up with everybody thinking I was 6 years older than I was. Then everybody found out and got really mad at me. But yeah, the first year was so bad because I was like making all these sex jokes and not having much sex at all. Once she realized she'd done every festival in Canada, she decided to expand her network and move to the U.S. It's her first time at Moon Tower. Everybody always talks about how Austin is such a comedy city right up there with Chicago, L.A., and New York. I'm really so new to America that every city I go to, I've just never been to before, and my stand-up is sometimes kind of weird. So whenever there's a real comedy-savvy city, that's my best chance of doing well. Buddy says she's seeing more of a balanced gender distribution in the industry. I think a lot of women comedians would strongly disagree with that, but she calls it a huge relief. But I think the problem is still that women stop too soon, and I think that men don't stop. Sophie Buddy is part of those Canadians of Comedy. Tomorrow night, 10 o'clock at Velve Comedy Lounge. If you happen to be in Austin, that is your comedy news for today. Tomorrow, 420 episode of the Daily Comedy News. Follow the show for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your shows. If you like what I do here and you want to support the show, why don't you buy me a coffee? Go to buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. I'll buy one of these. Did you hear the big news? I switched my milk. Yeah, I switched to almond milk. So I was having breathing problems. Humble brag. I'm planning on running the New York City Marathon if my knees hold up, and got to go out and run every morning, and the milk and the lungs just, it wasn't happening. So I switched to almond milk. So you can go to buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews, and I will take your $5 and I will buy a large iced coffee with caramel and what? Almond milk. That's right. See you tomorrow.